Hello, happiness seekers. My name is Claudia. Welcome back to the Happiness Challenge. This month is all about journaling. In the episode 219, we have heard from the executive coach and speaker, Madeleine McQueen, how journaling creates mental space. Remember, it was all about reducing the swirl and bringing clarity. And in the episode 220, I have summarized four types of journaling styles. And I really do hope that you have followed the challenge and try two styles, and now you have your favorite one. As always, I've been engaging in this challenge alongside you, and I realized that I'm going to actually stick to two types of journaling, one daily and one when I need it to. So the first one is very much about simply writing two, three things that I want to remember from the day. So I started writing, in addition to things like what I'm grateful for, also things that make me happy, some special moments and memories with my loved ones, my small win, or even simply how I felt that day. And I really like this specific type of journaling because it's quite structured, it's quite quick, but I realized that it really helps me to cherish my moments more, and it helps me even to remember my life more vividly. I was like, why? I actually remember better what happened across last weeks because every day I'm writing a few things that I really want to cherish from that day. Otherwise, I definitely feel like I might be on an autopilot moving from moment to the next without really stopping and pausing. Definitely enjoyed this more structured daily check-in. And the second type of journaling, which I've definitely done in the past, but I kind of put the journal away and kind of maybe haven't reached out for it as often as I need to, is more a free form. And I'm trying now to use that more often across the week before I go to sleep to park my thoughts. Again, rather than having this expectation that after a hectic day, I have time, I have just ability to close my eyes and go to sleep, I just take a few moments, even in bullet points, just to process my emotions, structure my thinking, park some thoughts. And sometimes even it is to park creative swirl I have of all the different ideas that are in my head. And this journaling definitely is going to happen and was happening when I needed it. But I definitely done it more often because of this month challenge. So I do hope that you have tried some of the different journaling types and you have the one that, you know, sticks with you, agrees with you, or you're going to do so in the future. Now, journaling can sound a little bit like a soft, fluffy habit, but it has been actually studied for decades now. In this episode, I will look at what research suggests journaling can do for stress and well-being. So research studied journaling from a little bit different perspectives, and it very much agrees on the following findings. So definitely, it has been shown that expressive writing can support mental and physical health. So there is quite a large body of research on expressive writing when you are writing about thoughts and feelings around stressful experiences. And that actually suggests improved well-being and also improved physical health. This idea of expressive writing, and I was surprised to find out, was already introduced and studied in 1986. When people already showed improvements in health-related outcomes after writing about difficult experiences. So it's really interesting to understand that journaling isn't only to be writing about nice story, but it's very much a place where we give a brain time to process and organize our emotional material. The second aspect around journaling is that it can help emotional regulation. So there is also research, much more recent, so 2007, suggesting that putting feelings into words can reduce that emotional intensity and support regulation. And after people engage in labeling emotion in their journal, they experience reduced amygdala activity, that is responsible for our emotional processing and increase prefrontal regulation, which is more about managing our emotions. So if you don't know what to write, the key takeaway from this research is that start with naming emotions. I feel, and just name them. And that can in itself be very quick, beneficial exercise. The third really interesting insights from research about journaling is writing can help make meaning and help us to cognitively process. And again, it's about the fact that when we have this mental swirl, which I mentioned in different episodes and has been mentioned by my guest, journaling helps us to create a coherent narrative and integrate different experiences. And it can actually allow us to also understand what story are we repeating on autopilot in our head. And lots of very interesting studies that shows that writing have improved health outcomes because of that cognitive processing. So practical takeaway here is clarity often comes after you write, not before. So when we sit down to start writing, we don't necessarily need to know what we want to write. The idea is that we're just writing to engage in that cognitive processing, and therefore we have the sense of clarity afterwards. Aha, this is what I'm telling myself. Aha, this is what I'm truly thinking. Aha, this is what's on my mind. And the final one, which I think we won't be surprised about, is about journaling plus gratitude. And there is entire separate research that absolutely shows that gratitude practices overall increase positive affect and increases our life satisfaction. Again, keeping gratitude list is absolutely associated with improved well-being compared to just not writing at all or compared to thinking about all the hassles or thinking about neutral events. And the practical takeaway from research, especially by Emmonson McCullough in 2003, was very much about gratitude journaling works best when it's very specific and believable, not forced. If you have days when you think, oh, I really cannot, I don't necessarily feel I'm grateful for something, it's okay. Maybe come back to it later. It has to be something that we feel, yeah, I'm truly grateful for this, rather than, okay, let me write that I'm grateful for my food because that's what I should be grateful for. And if you want to dive deeper into the topic of gratitude, which I think is absolutely fascinating because it is one of the habits that has the power to completely rewire our brain, you can check out my chapter about gratitude in my book, The Alphabet of Happiness, because it's so important. I dedicated an entire chapter to this concept. So, in summary, why journaling works? If anytime anyone asks you, or maybe you have a cynical friend and or a partner, and they're like, why are you journaling? Now we have all those journals lying around the house. Why are you even bothering to do it? We have four specific aspects. We have that cognitive offloading. We're moving our thoughts from head to page, and that reduces our mental load. We have emotional processing. We are naming our feelings, which reduces intensity and increases our choices. We have that narrative coherence. We are helping our brain to actually structure and file almost the experience. And often we have also problem solving, that once the swirl is on the paper, we can see what the step become visible and we have that clarity. And finally, of course, we have this aspect of gratitude. We can engage in the act of appreciating our life. So how can we actually journal in a kind of science-aligned way, if you like? Very 5-minute easy structure could be name your feeling. Right now, I feel. Name the trigger. This is coming up because. Name the meaning. The story I'm telling myself is about this. reframe it gently. Another possible explanation is, or maybe I could, choose one step, one small next step I can take is this. And finally, even in this situation, one thing I'm grateful for is. So thank you so much for listening, and I will see you next month. It will be March, which is very special for me overall because it's my birthday and it's my husband's birthday as well. But also this year, I'll be in Costa Rica. I have been invited to speak at the Global Growth Happiness Summit that is hosted by United Nations. Established University for Peace. I'll be speaking there about the science of happiness. I am beyond excited. So frankly, I don't know what March will bring on the Happiness Challenge podcast. You need to stay tuned in to find out. And if you are up for receiving updates about that summit, you can subscribe to my Substack newsletter via my website, thehappinesschallenge.co.uk. I wish you a great month ahead, and I wish you lots of positive journaling. Thank you so much. Bye.